What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. My name is Herms, joined as always by my good friend Tyler O. And today we are going to be taking a look at the NFL landscape of quarterbacks. We're into 2026 already. There is tons of stuff that we have to review in terms of just how a lot of quarterbacks around the league performed last year, how we can start looking at them moving into the future for fantasy purposes, both for season-long redraft once we get around to, you know, the summertime, but also for all you dynasty managers out there, in case you're thinking about, you know, making some swaps or doing a startup soon, how you should be valuing these guys, how you should be thinking about these guys. That is going to be the gist of what we are going to get into today, talking through some key quarterback names. But before we get into that discussion, of course, Tyler, I have to ask, how you doing on this fine January day?
Things are great, Herms. We are now to the point where we're reflecting on the 2025 season and taking it in and using that information, those vibes, that feeling to start reacting, making adjustments and looking ahead the 2026 season. Many of you might be thinking, wow, the 2025 season is not even over. What are we doing? It is just the way our brains work. When the regular season ends, even though we're live right now, folks, it's the playoffs. We're already looking ahead to how we can help you win your fantasy championships in 2026. So I'm thrilled. It's nice to kind of look at the whole season of 2025 as a whole and take it in, process it, make some reactions. Things will adjust and change, undoubtedly, week to week, month to month. But just starting that process, Herms, has got me excited. It's one of my favorite things to do is just kind of look back at the whole season. What did we get right? What did we get wrong? How are we going to change? How are we going to react? Look at those L's, figure out what went wrong, and just try to improve bit by bit. Make that process even better, Herms. So let's get rolling, my man.
1000%, dude, being able to, you know, take a step back and sort of just evaluate ourselves and also just the, you know, plethora of football talent across the NFL is such a fun thing to do. We're going to have a great discussion in this episode, and we're going to start with a quarterback that a lot of people are talking about as, you know, possibly, maybe the league's MVP when all is said and done. I don't remember exactly when those awards get announced, but it's possible we could hear New England Patriots quarterback Drake May as the latest name on that list. Now, he finished this past season as a top five quarterback in fantasy points per game, and that is despite the fact that the New England Patriots didn't really have a lot of pass-catching weapons around him. Now, that's not to say that Stephon Diggs didn't have, you know, his fair share of quality games, or, you know, tight end Hunter Henry, a name that always has to get some credit, a perpetually underappreciated guy. But, you know, what Drake May was able to do this past year with the sort of limited cast around him is absolutely incredible. So I'm curious to hear your perspective on how you are, you know, sort of taking a look at what happened with Drake May, looking at the sort of Patriots team, and how we can sort of wrap our heads around what to expect moving forward.
Got to have to take a moment here and victory lap a bit with you, Herms. Not just by myself, the two of us, is we were ahead of consensus on Drake May going into the season, right? He was kind of a fringy quarterback one, like in that 14 to 12 range. We took a stand and said, nah, you guys got to go out there and you got to get Drake May. You got to trade from a dynasty. You can draft him. We said you can draft Drake May comfortably as your QB in one QB leagues. And you could have done that very late. He finished the season, I believe it was the quarterback two overall and the quarterback three in points per game. He was a difference maker. He was the kind of quarterback that gave you a little bit of a bump every single week. So you got to really kind of look back and be like, all right, he didn't play a full season his rookie year. And then he did a full season and he finishes as a QB two. So for me, this is a very obvious case of like, he's going to be in my top five. He's going to be a top five quarterback for me going forward. He's 23 years old. They're going to continue to add weapons. It's only going to go up from here. I currently set him as my QB4 in Dynasty right now. Now, he could shift up one or two spots, and I don't think I'm going to argue with you too much. But for me, it's a pretty easy case here where he's a top five Dynasty quarterback going forward. He's the kind of quarterback that you can build a Dynasty franchise around. He deserves to be going in the first round of Superflex startups in Dynasty. So it was a great year, an MVP year, some are saying, and a guy who saw his price and saw his kind of spot in the Dynasty ranks skyrocket, right? He was, again, top 12-ish, fringe, like top 12 guy. I don't think anyone's going to have him outside of the top five this year, man. And he didn't even run that much. He didn't even run as much as we thought he would. That's the craziest part. Thoughts on that, Herms? Am I off the wall here? Is this making sense to you? Are we aligned?
Actually, as a matter of fact, we are perfectly aligned. I also have Drake May as my QB4 in my Dynasty ranks. Although, if we ask our good friends over at Keep Trade Cut, we are both below a little bit because he is currently the QB1 in those Dynasty rankings. So I don't know if I'm ready to go that far. But, you know, like you said, man, like he is a young cornerstone asset for any Dynasty team. He is somebody that, like, if I was building a real NFL team, I would be absolutely thrilled to start my franchise around him as the quarterback. And one of the interesting things about his rushing, as you alluded to, I picked up this fun fact doing some research for an article that I came out with on ftnfantasy.com, going through some of the lessons learned from the 2025 fantasy season. And it's interesting, quarterback rushing across the board dipped in 2025, and Drake May specifically, even though he ran the ball more often, averaging 6.1 carries per game as opposed to 4.2 as a rookie, his scramble rate dropped from 83.3% to just 60.2% this season. And along with that, his yards per scramble went from 9 yards to a nice 6.9. So it didn't really, you know, matter all that much. He was still able to find fantasy relevance despite the fact that his overall rushing yardage ended up going down. But it tells me he's being a little bit more, you know, focused and choosy with the times that he goes to escape the pocket. And I think there is something to be said for that. It kind of shows a little bit of, you know, maybe just a little bit more poise, a little bit more comfortability in the pocket. You do love to see that. Any other final thoughts on Drake May before we get into our next quarterback?
No, I just am excited for his career. I've been a fan of his for a long time. Happy to see him find success.
1,000%, dude. And another quarterback that I was hoping was going to find a little bit more success this year that ultimately kind of fell off due to some injuries, Jaden Daniels with the Washington Commanders. Now, he only played in 7 games because, if we remember, I think it was like some hamstring stuff. He ended up having a sort of knee issue, but then when his elbow just got bent in one of the worst directions I've ever seen a human's elbow being bent, that was just pretty terrible. But I don't know. I think anything we've seen out of his career so far, when he's fully healthy, when he's, you know, out there doing a bunch of stuff, he brings that Konami Code element. He is still very young. But there are some question marks when it comes to the Commanders' offense. I'm not going to, you know, get into too many specific names and steal your thunder, but just looking at Daniels and Washington moving into 2026 and beyond, are you concerned by anything we saw this past year, or are you still valuing him as an elite difference maker at the quarterback position?
I would probably lean towards the elite difference maker at the quarterback position, right? He was hurt. I think that's the easiest way to kind of look at what happened this season was he was hurt. There was weapons that were hurt. I think he played 7 games. I don't even think he played a full game in all those games. What really stands out to me is you look what he did as a rookie. Full season, QB5 overall. More importantly, he had almost 900 yards rushing. That's what you can't beat. That is just, there's a very short list of quarterbacks who can flirt with 800, 900 yards rushing in the NFL. Jaden Daniels is clearly one of them. And I think there's another quarterback very much like him, Lamar Jackson, that'll probably be undervalued a bit because of how things went down. But you have to look at their body of work, and while we don't have a large sample size here, we know he is capable of running for 900 yards. And when a quarterback runs for 800 yards, they're going to be a top 8 quarterback. It's just the way it works. So I'm at QB5, actually, right under Drake May. If you really wanted to press me, you could probably move him up again. I will probably find myself above market. I'm excited to see what Keep Trade Cut has him, because Keep Trade Cut, it's a cool tool because it's super reactionary, I think. And it really speaks to what is the market right now. What are people feeling right now And to me, Jaden Daniels is still 25 years old. He's still young in quarterback terms, and he's going to be healthy. And if he's healthy, he's going to continue to run. So he's a guy I'm probably looking forward to grabbing when people fade him a bit. Herms, kick me off here first. What's he at to keep trade cut? What does the market have him at?
So Jaden Daniels currently keep trade cut quarterback 3, just a little above where you have him. And also, I swear, listeners, we did not talk about this before we started recording. Jaden Daniels also my QB5 right behind Drake May. So we so far are in absolute lockstep. And you know, I guess I don't know. I'm a little surprised he's still that high. Now, granted, I'm not saying that he should be outside of, you know, even the top 6, but I kind of figured maybe the injuries were going to, you know, affect his stock a little bit more. But everybody else in the larger dynasty community that's contributing to these rankings on Keep Trade Cut seems to, you know, largely agree with where we're at. I do have one question, though. Just looking at how some of the offensive tendencies went last year, the Commanders attempted the second fewest passes in the NFL and ranked 29th in pass rate. They didn't throw the ball a ton in that Cliff Kingsbury offense in Jaden Daniels' rookie year either. But I look at those numbers and I think to myself, well, did that have more to do with the fact that for the vast majority of the season, it was Marcus Mariota and Josh Johnson at quarterback? I mean, probably. And then also Kingsbury, if I recall correctly, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Kingsbury got let go. I think they're going to have to replace their offensive coordinator. So, like, does that factor into things at all with you when you're looking into the future here?
He's still going to run, man. That's just part of his DNA. That's part of the quarterback he is. I think if we were talking about a pocket passer, I think we could have that conversation. But when you have a quarterback who's just capable of running like that, man, it's a cheat code in fantasy football. I mean, we say it time and time again. Can't say it enough. You just draft quarterbacks who run and you profit. If they're healthy, you profit. It's that simple. So I'm really not sweating the offensive coordinator change. We'll see how things go down, but he's our 2024 Offensive Rookie of the Year. I'm staying the course.
Definitely makes sense. I am with you there. My bigger concern, if anything, I guess, would just be like the weapons at play, because like Terry McLaurin, after his contract dispute, only ended up playing in 10 games. He took a little bit wild to, you know, get going. Debo Samuel, productive, but on the older side. Same can be said for Zach Ertz. Hopefully this team can add some younger offensive weapons around Daniels as we get into this offseason to make us feel a little bit better about it. We have another quarterback that we're going to talk about before we get into our commercial break, and his name is Trevor Lawrence. And even though the Jacksonville Jaguars recently just lost their playoff game against the Buffalo Bills, I thought for sure they were going to pull out that victory. And looking at the second half of the season, man, that was some of the best football that Trevor Lawrence has played in his entire career. Arguably the best stretch of professional football we have seen out of him. And even though we did see some struggles with Brian Thomas Jr. between some health stuff and also just not really having that solid of a rapport with Lawrence, Parker Washington stepping up to the table, team going out and trading for Jacoby Myers, immediately giving him this contract extension, and also our good young tight end friend, Brenton Strange, a guy that we talk about a lot, also a very intriguing weapon. I think Lawrence has a lot going for him. I think what head coach Liam Cohen has done, sort of reshaping this offense and bringing new life to it, makes for a very, very exciting future for Trevor Lawrence. Personally, I've got him as my QB 11 in my dynasty rankings right now. I really want to put him up a little bit higher, but because we've only seen like just a little bit of this out of him, I'm a bit hesitant. Do you share my hesitations or do you have him higher?
I got him a little bit lower right now. I'm at quarterback 14, so I'm a little bit lower than you. Basically, where I'm at with Trevor Lawrence is, you know, if you look, his rookie season, not good, but he finished QB 8 in 2022, QB 13 in 2023. He was injured a bit in 2024 and then QB 4. So when we see full seasons outside of his rookie year, we've seen 8, 13, and 4. Okay. So for me, now that I'm kind of talking through it, like, it does seem a little low. But at the same time, everything just kind of ran pure for him. He was rushing a lot. He played a full season. I get the argument for 11, but like the thing is I look at the guys that are around that area and like, this is like a Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert, Brock Purdy area. And like, you could probably make an argument for these guys and I can move them up or around these guys and I wouldn't really fault you for it. But to me, this was more so just like everything like really went well for Trevor Lawrence to be able to finish as a QB4. You know, he never rushed for more than 5 touchdowns a game. He rushed for 9. So it's just, you look at his career as a rusher, you know, he had the most attempts, he had the most yards, he had the most touchdowns. Do I necessarily think that that holds up? I'm not exactly sure that it will. So, you know, I do think he might have turned in the right direction with Liam Cohen and the right weapons, as you've kind of mentioned. But I do question if he's going to be able to kind of put together another like top 5 performance again. And he's more of like a fringy kind of quarterback one, right? And I think like a good example of that is like Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield was quarterback 4 last season. Things didn't necessarily go his way, but he still played a full season. He finishes a QB 12, right? And that's kind of like where my head's at with things, where things just really worked out in his favor. Variance swung towards Trevor Lawrence. And to me, he's more of a fringe quarterback one and not somebody that we're going to be trusting as a top 5 quarterback. Not saying that you said he's going to be a top 5 quarterback. He just kind of sits on the fringe QB one for me. And, you know, I'm not going to chase what I would consider probably his best fantasy year in his career.
It's probably the smart thing to do. It's the prudent approach for sure. The keep trade cut market has it about in between us at QB 12. I think people are also kind of riding that fence a little bit, and it makes sense. I think one of the things I'm really fascinated about this offseason, even though it doesn't technically have to do fully with the passing game, would be if Travis Etienne returns to the team, because I think he's set to be a free agent. The run game added a huge boost to this offense and just the overall health of the ecosystem. It would be kind of cool if he returned to the fold, but you know, if not, hey, Bashaul Tutin might be somebody fun. Maybe they'll go out and address the position elsewhere. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Definitely more of a I'm impressed, but not going to go too far over my skis when it comes to Lawrence as well. We are going to take a quick commercial break, but then on the other side, we will get back into our discussion of the NFL quarterback landscape. Don't go anywhere. This is the Crossing Routes Podcast.
Yo, yo, yo. How's it hanging? CH Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes Podcast here to ask you a question. Have you wanted to get in on some NFL action, but don't live in a state that has a sports book? Well, we have great news. Our newest partner, Novig, is America's number one sports prediction market, offering better odds than sportsbooks in over 35 states. If you're looking to tail some of our plays for the NFL playoffs and all sorts of other sports, new players on Novig can get a free month of an FTN GOAT subscription when they sign up and use promo code FTN with their first purchase. Plus, you'll get 50% off your first purchase up to $25 in Novig cash. All you gotta do is download the Novig app, enter code FTN before making your first purchase of $50 or less, and the discount will automatically apply. Also, your promo code for that free month of an FTN GOAT tier will be in your email inbox before you know it. What a deal! We look forward to having you play on Novig with us this year. Be sure to check it out and use that promo code FTN.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Crossing Routes Podcast, still fueled by FTN Fantasy. I am still Herms. He is still Tyler O. And we have ourselves a conversation going about the landscape of the quarterback position across the NFL, digging into some key names, talking about some players who, you know, either have some value boosts or a little bit of a value slip following their performances in the 2025 season. And we will continue our discussion by talking about a second-year quarterback who took a bit of a step forward in the box scores in terms of total counting stats, but still has his fair share of issues to sort of work out with his performance. That's Caleb Williams with the Chicago Bears. Dude, this offense looked so much better after they hired Ben Johnson as their head coach. If anybody, you know, forgets who Ben Johnson is, he was the WizKid offensive coordinator with the Detroit Lions for a number of years there. He immediately comes in, completely reshapes this offense, and they have a lot of fun things going for them. I think, obviously, we're talking about quarterbacks today, but I'm sure when we get into wide receivers, Luther Burden is a name that I thought was remarkable toward the end of the season. Roma Dunze, you know, had some health struggles, also, you know, had some connection issues with Caleb, as he did last year, but still a very talented player. And then Colston Loveland, my God, if you all did not see that playoff performance, and also just how he was performing at the end of the year already, dude, the Bears have some weapons, and that's going to be a fun thing for Caleb Williams. But I don't know, dude, there is still just a couple things, you know, before I hand it over to you. One thing that I pulled up in our NFL stats hub, just looking at accuracy rates among all qualified quarterbacks in 2025, 38 of them to be exact, Caleb Williams ranked 33rd in accuracy rate, 71.1%. We would definitely like that to be higher. We would definitely like him to connect on some more of his passes than he has, especially with the Dunze, like I had alluded to. If he could really get that going, that would be super sick. But that's kind of the reason why I am not super bullish on Caleb Williams. I have him as my QB10 on this list. Keep trade cut a lot higher, a lot more bullish at QB6. Are you more in line with where I'm thinking, or are you much closer to market that seems to be just be going full steam ahead with Caleb?
I'm much closer to you. He's my QB9 right now, so definitely below market a bit. For me, it's Caleb Williams is inconsistent, right? Clearly has accuracy problems, but clearly has taken a step forward, probably much in part to Ben Johnson running a spectacular offense over there. I think when I think about Caleb Williams' play, multiple times in a game, he'll look like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL and one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. He makes big-time plays consistently, sometimes when he needs to, but then other times, he looks like Justin Fields back there throwing the football, like just little passes that he just can't complete. Now, you could say to yourself, well, Tyler, he finishes at QB6. He was QB, I believe, 8 in points per game. He's going to keep growing. He's going to keep taking a step forward. And, like, I totally understand that argument. It's probably why he's so high and keep trade cut. But for me, there's just other quarterbacks that I believe have higher floors and higher ceilings. And there's just some question marks in terms of what he is as a passer for me to get him that high. Now, do I think I'm out on Caleb Williams at QB9? Certainly wouldn't say that. I like what I've seen as somebody who's been a detractor. He certainly has shut me up in some ways, especially with the Bears now continuing to push through the playoffs. And he's shown up late in games as of recent. But in the end of the day, he's not necessarily going to be killing it as a rusher. Now, he's mobile, and that helps him a lot. In fact, he ran for almost 500 yards his rookie season, but no touchdown. You know, he only ran for a little under 400 this season, 3 touchdowns. He's got enough rushing to kind of keep the floor up, but still didn't hit 4,000 passing yards. So, for me, I see some mistakes. I see the interceptions as an opportunity to kind of go up next year. He's a fine QB1. I have no problem calling him that, but he is going to be on the bottom half of that, not the top half. So I like Caleb Williams. I think he continues to trend in the right direction in terms of football. But for fantasy, there's just a couple guys I'd much rather have than Caleb Williams.
Yeah, definitely some players that we've seen do it a little bit more consistently, for sure. That's probably the basis for my argument, and seems to be yours as well. I think that that's a pretty reasonable stance to hold. Now we get into our part of the conversation where we're talking about some guys that I think you could get a wide range of opinions on these, depending on who you talk to. And the first name on that list is Brock Purdy. Over there with the San Francisco 49ers, they've got some interesting things that they're going to have to figure out moving forward, especially with the whole Brandon Ayuk situation. It doesn't really seem like he's going to end up playing there ever again, with the fact that he didn't even come back from a torn ACL at any point this year. I think there was some weird stuff about like his contract, something being voided and all this other stuff. Either way, they've got that to sort out. George Kittle popping his Achilles in that playoff game this past weekend. I think that effectively knocks him out for this coming season.
I think it does. It likely does, man. It's bad news.
So like that, all of that kind of stinks, but at the same time, it's a Kyle Shanahan offense. It's a guy that we have seen step up to the plate. And even though Purdy himself had some injury issues, got knocked out for a decent chunk of the year, he still put up a respectable number of fantasy points per game, and especially toward the end of the season when that offense really started to heat up. So I personally have Brock Purdy as my QB13 right there in that sort of fringe pocket area. If you wanted me to put together an argument to get him into the top 12 at the very end, you could probably make me do it. But he's right there just on the outside looking in. Are you in a similar position as me with Purdy, or are you a little bit higher or lower?
I swear we didn't talk before the show, but he's my QB 13. He's my QB 13. So he had a hell of a year. So obviously it's tough to look at where he finished because he missed like half the season. Okay. He was, however, QB 2 in points per game, and he was the QB 1 over the fantasy playoffs. He absolutely was on fire, playing great football. He finished QB6 in 2023, missed a couple games, finished QB14. Who's to say when he puts together another full season, he can be top eight? That's, I understand that. But for me, it's like he's such a good passer of the football, and he strangely can like rush a little bit more so for touchdowns than for yards. It kind of keeps him an interesting play. We saw it happen multiple times this season and last. But he's in that zone, man, where it's like everything kind of worked out for him towards the end of the season. If he plays a full season, do I still think he's QB2 in points per game? No, I honestly don't think he is. He's looked great. He's looked like a very good quarterback again, a hell of a steal with where they got him there. Looks like he's the future. Mac Jones played admirably, but in my opinion, Brock Purdy left no question marks there whatsoever. And Purdy is certainly that dude and much better than Mac Jones. So I feel good at 13. He's kind of in that range. I could move him up a spot or two. I wouldn't necessarily argue too much about it, but I've also seen him fold in some really, really big games too. He can be a little bit streaky. He just doesn't do it for me to be able to like call him a top 10 quarterback. So sitting right outside of that, that's Brock Purdy for me, man. I think he's not a guy I'm thrilled about being my QB1. But if he's my second quarterback, I feel really good about that. It's just where he's at.
Yeah, he's sort of in that tier for me of dudes that if you have them as your QB2, you are feeling super, super, super good. But you are at a bit of a stretch if you are making him your QB1. Also, fun fact, we are right in line with the Keep Trade Cut market. You have him at 13. I have him at 13. And Keep Trade Cut also has Brock Purdy at 13. The next name we are going to discuss is a personal favorite of the podcast. If you have listened to Crossing Routes since the very beginning, you are all very well aware of how much we love Jackson Dart. He was phenomenal this year, and that was without having Malik Nabers for the vast majority of the season. So he wasn't even operating with one of the most talented young wide receivers in the entire NFL. And one quick fun fact before I hand it over to you, Jackson Dart finished the season with 487 rushing yards. He was a guy that could absolutely scoot. And over the past decade, that mark of 487 rushing yards is sixth best among rookie quarterbacks and 10th in the entire Super Bowl era. So that's a fun thing that he has going for him. I'm hoping that he'll continue to maintain doing that, even though he did kind of bang his head around a little bit and end up in the blue tent sometimes. Hopefully, whatever new coach lets him run as often as he did. I have Jackson Dart as my QB8, but that's only because I know if I put him any higher, it would be irresponsible. But in my heart of hearts, I want him to just be a top 5 guy. I really think he can do it. I think he is a supremely talented individual, but I don't want to go and get overzealous.
Herms, I don't know what the hell is going on here, but there's some serious podcast mind meld going on here because he's also my QB8.
Let's go.
This is disgusting, folks. I don't know how we're doing this, but I keep it. This is a conservative rank for me, knowing there's going to be a new regime, knowing that we've seen a coach late in the season decide not to run him and just like stick to the ground game. This is a conservative rank for a QB8 for me, and that's how I feel. When they made him a starter in week four up until he got hurt in week 11 or week 10. QB1 overall. Okay. QB1 overall. He was ahead of the second quarterback in points per game by 2 full points. He's a difference maker. He is a guy that has given you an edge almost every single week at the position. Okay. When Neighbors comes back and things get better, the Giants, I mean, I'm with you where I think he could easily be a top five quarterback. But if you were to tell me that Keep Trade Cut has Jackson Dart at QB6, you know, I'd probably put him up there too. Like, I want to be ahead. I want to be ahead of the market on Jackson Dart. And that's just the bottom line. Right now, I got Burrow and Mahomes ahead of him. Burrow, I would easily make the argument. Mahomes is tough because, you know, he was also killing it for a while there. I mean, it was pretty crazy. So Mahomes absolutely was crushing it for a bit there till he got hurt. I mean, he still finished as one of the top quarterbacks in points per game on the season. So I got to give my respect to Mahomes. I don't know if I can necessarily do that to Mahomes, but man, I love Jackson Dart. He did better than I could have ever expected. Beyond my wildest dreams. I was a huge fan of his, and he did better than I thought. So I feel pretty good about him at 8. I think I want to put him in the top 5, but I can't. What is the market got him at, Herms? Tell me.
So we are just a hair ahead of the market. Keep Trade Cut only has him at number 9. I think, you know, if we have this discussion, you know, a few months from now and we end up in a position where they hire the right head coach, we get, you know, a ton of good word about the recovery timelines for both Malik Nabers and Cam Scadabo, because I think when he comes back into the fold, that backfield is also just going to take, you know, another leap forward. I think that that's another pretty underrated part of this entire thing. Like, yeah, dude, all of the stuff that we really want to see is all there for Jackson Dart. And I'd be willing to bet if we have this conversation again in like August or something, at least one of us is probably going to be bold enough to just boost this dude up. But we have to see all the stuff that's going to happen. But I think, if anything, the big takeaway here, listeners, is that we are both telling you, be a little bit ahead on the market with Jackson Dart. I think it'll pay off eventually in due time. Now, our last name before we get out of here is a quarterback that I think probably would have been a lot higher on a ton of people's list had he himself not popped his Achilles at the end of the regular season, and that is Daniel Jones. Awesome resurgent season with the Indianapolis Colts. Really revitalized his own career, but also that offense. Because there was a stretch of time there early in the season, I want to say probably for the first, like, what, 8 or 9 weeks or something, they were like the most efficient offense in the NFL. And his ability to consistently deliver the ball to Michael Pittman Jr., the big breakout that we saw from Alec Pierce, like, Daniel Jones deserves a ton of credit. But if there's anything that I am a little bit hesitant about beyond the fact that he, you know, had an Achilles injury, is the fact that he didn't really run the ball that much even before getting injured. I don't even think he reached 200 yards on the ground before he ended up getting sent to IR for the end of the year. And that is a facet of his game that was actually pretty cool when he was with the New York Giants. So I don't know, especially after popping an Achilles, if he's going to get back to running anytime soon. So that does kind of lower things for me a little bit, but I still have him as my QB 18, just because I think he did well enough to probably come back with the Indianapolis Colts and get through his recovery and get to the field again. I think he's going to be the starter for an NFL team. Where are you at with Daniel Jones? And does the injury, I guess it's just a big gray cloud. Does that make it a little bit tough?
It does. I have him QB 24. You know, I haven't tested those rankings in a dynasty startup yet, but it's just me thinking he's not going to play next season. And it's just, it's not been necessarily great for Daniel Jones throughout his career. Like, we have a large sample size for Daniel Jones. And while, like, he had a great season this season and he did in 2022, the rest has been forgettable, right? So it's just like, I look at his body of work throughout the entire NFL and it's just not good. Like, he had that blip in 2022 with the Giants and then obviously a good year for the first half of the season here. I mean, yeah, granted, he was playing on, I believe, like a broken leg. And then he tore his Achilles. But, you know, it's just tough for me because I'm assuming he's probably going to re-sign. I don't really think anyone else is going to be trying harder, pushing for Daniel Jones with the Achilles injury. So I think it's just like, man, he was a bad quarterback majority of his career, and you can blame the Giants all you want, but I'm just not able to get past that. So he's a guy that I'm probably going to be passing on. Keep trade cut. What's the market saying about the guy?
He is very, very fringe in terms of super flex relevance, sitting at quarterback 23.
Okay, so I'm about right there. That makes a lot of sense. Okay.
Yeah, not too bad. I think it, you know, that it's probably where he should be. It's pretty appropriate because, you know, the risk with the injury and just the uncertain future in total makes it difficult to get any higher with it. But before we get out of here, let's just put this in hypothetical terms. Let's say Daniel Jones had finished the season healthy, not, you know, going off at the end of the year or anything. Let's just say he maintained his production pretty consistently, whatever his pace was for season end stats. Let's just say he kept with it and ended the year with whatever those totals were going to be. Where would you have Daniel Jones in that circumstance?
I don't know. It's a really good hypothetical question. I'd probably say somewhere, maybe splitting the difference with us a little bit. I don't know, man. It's tough. Because like I want to be excited about Daniel Jones, but just knowing that his whole body of work hasn't been good, I don't know, man. What about you? Question back to you.
I think probably not too much higher than I have him, because I think I'm already pretty aggressive at 18. But I think had he finished the year doing what he was doing, I would have had him maybe closer to like 15 or 16. That's now, fair. Mind you, that's the range where I've got Baker Mayfield at number 16. I've got CJ Stroud at QB 17. But like, yeah, so probably like in that ballpark, I would feel a little bit more bullish.
Fair enough. I don't know. He's just not a guy that I want to be ahead of market on, because it's just been bad for too long. Like, I was stoked to see him do well. Hated to see him go down, but I just got to look at it objectively, Herms, and not excited for the future here. I got to be realistic.
That's fair. And plus, hey, folks, we have even more quarterbacks coming into the league in the 2026 NFL draft. We're going to have some prospects that are going to be flooding these ranks as well. The landscape is going to continue to unfold as more guys come into the league. There's still free agency. There's still going to be a ton of trades that go down this offseason. Who knows where some guys like Kyler Murray are going to be next year? Is Tua Tagovailoa going to be on the Miami Dolphins? Who even knows? But the point being, the quarterback position and the landscape of the NFL is constantly evolving. There is always stuff to talk about, which means we will always have new episodes of the Crossing Routes podcast coming out every single week. Be sure to stick with us at FTN Fantasy. For more of our content, please go over to ftnfantasy.com. Check out all of the cool stuff we have going on. And until next time, my name is Herms. He is Tyler O. And we are getting out of here and saying goodbye. Adios.
Think a better before we come, just to say goodbye. And staying up and sleeping late.